It's time for Sweet Home Cannabama, a show that'll answer all your questions, provide accurate information, and dispel the myths of CBD. You can participate and have your specific questions answered by emailing sweethomecannabama.com. And now for all things cannabis in Alabama, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome to the show, everybody. This is your host, Jennifer Boozer, owner and founder of Cannabama, the CBD store, here in Mobile, Alabama. Well, actually, I am not here in Mobile, Alabama. Tonight, I am broadcasting from Montgomery, our state capital, getting ready to do a rally tomorrow that we're going to tell you about later in the show with Marty Shelper. But first, I want to tell you where you can find us. We're at 558 St. Francis Street in downtown Mobile, just a block up from Wenzel's off of Dolphin Street. Big orange building, you can't miss us on the corner of St. Francis and Warren Street. Our phone number, if you want to call, ask questions, schedule some time with me, find out if your favorite products are in stock, it's 251-255-5155. And you can shop online and find us at cannabama.com, cannabama.com. And you can shop for products, you can read about us, you can look at our media page and see the articles that have been written about us, TV interviews we've done, all sorts of neat information, get your questions answered, and you can contact us, find the maps, all that good stuff, all our social media links to Facebook and Instagram, the Twitter we don't use because we don't have time. Anyway, it's been an interesting couple of weeks. I didn't do the show last week. I had a lot going on personally and had to take care of some things with my baby, but, I was named, this is really cool and exciting, but I was named the Alabama State Representative for the National Industrial Hemp Coalition, which I'm like, wow, that's a really long title. But I was, in the last interview that I did with the farmer whose genetics were being used to defraud people in Alabama, that was an interesting show. I ended up getting sort of introduced to this group of people who are in a coalition that is a national group. They have a representative from each state, and then each of us has sort of an area of expertise. And of course, mine is retail and education, customer relations, and of course the podcast and radio gives me a little insight to be able to contribute to their newsletter and their podcast. So I'm really excited to be to get to represent the state of Alabama. It's a huge honor, and you know, I've learned a lot from our guest tonight, Marty. She has taught me what it means to have a backbone when nobody else has a backbone, and to not really care what anybody thinks because you're doing the right thing no matter what, no matter how broke you get, no matter how frustrated you are. Marty is a trooper, so I hope I can grow up to be like Marty someday. Welcome to the show, Marty.
Thank you so much, Jennifer.
I can hardly hear you, but I'm working on this. We are actually looking at each other from our respective vehicles in a parking lot. So being on remote is not nearly as glamorous as it sounds.
It's hot and humid in Montgomery.
It is hot and humid everywhere. I know. She just gifted me with a mask that says, "Don't worry, it's a weed cough." So I don't usually wear a mask a whole lot, but I look forward to getting to wear this one through a really nice hotel tonight.
Are they going to require us to wear a mask?
So this week, what is it, Marty?
Are they going to require us to wear a mask in the hotel?
You know, they didn't earlier. Half the people in there didn't have a mask on, so there's hope.
Okay, good.
Yes.
Thank you.
So real quick, before we get started with Marty, I want to let everybody know that this weekend, Friday, marks our three-year anniversary of being open for business. Cannabama was created on August 3rd, 2018, and we opened our doors for business to the public on August 27th. Of course, you know, I always like to throw a party, but after COVID, you know, our coffers are a little bare, so we're going to do something to celebrate. We're going to have some sales. We're going to do some free sampling, some product drawings, maybe a little challenge. I'm not sure. Isaiah and Angelie and I are working on that. We're trying to get to some good ideas, some fresh ideas. But stay tuned for that on our Facebook page and Instagram. And of course, when you come in and see us, we'll be putting up a sign. But we are going to celebrate the third anniversary because I honestly can't believe we made it this long. After the last 16, 18 months, you know, I know you guys know how brutal it's been, but we're so happy to just still be here and still be able to serve the community in Mobile and throughout the state of Alabama. So come on down and see us this week. Plan on seeing us this weekend, and hopefully a lot of people will get a lot of free stuff. So I think we're going to get some of our vendors are going to send us some swag too. We'll be able to do some giveaways and it'll be exciting and just help us celebrate. You know, maybe we'll have some cupcakes. Maybe they'll be infused. I don't know. Mm-hmm. We'll have to see. Well, Marty, welcome to the show. Tell us why we're here in Montgomery. Tell the audience why we're here.
Okay. Well, we have been invited, the Alabama Cannabis Coalition that I'm the president and the founder of, has been invited to Montgomery. The Libertarian Party of the state of Alabama is hosting a rally tomorrow in Montgomery at 9 o'clock at Troy University, and it's rally against government corruption.
Wow, that's a broad stroke pen, huh?
Yeah, well, there's actually going to be a court hearing tomorrow. The Libertarian Party is trying to get the same benefits that the Democratic Party and the Republican Party in the state of Alabama get in order to obtain a list of the registered voters in the state of Alabama. But the Alabama Democrats and the Republicans, as I understand it, don't have to pay for that list, but because the Libertarian Party is not recognized, they're having to pay for every one of those names that are on that list. So there's going to be a court hearing tomorrow, and while that court hearing is going on is when the rally will be held, and they invited the Alabama Cannabis Coalition to speak for about 10 or 15 minutes about the mission and the goals that we have in the state of Alabama to legalize cannabis, to fight and lobby for the right to grow, and to expunge all cannabis convictions in the state of Alabama. And I have recently, within the past 2 weeks, registered as a lobbyist in the state of Alabama, and I will be fighting for the citizens of the state of Alabama. I will not be fighting for big cannabis industry. I'm fighting for the rights of the citizens of the state of Alabama.
Right, because the lobbyists that the couple of lobbyists that we do have are usually working with the industry. Like people like
Correct.
Me and people who are way more important than me who actually work and make a living in the industry, right?
That's correct. And Melissa Mullins, who is the president of the Alabama Republicans Against Marijuana Prohibition, has also registered to lobby for the citizens of the state of Alabama, and her primary focus is on medical cannabis. But we are standing in solidarity for legalization in the state of Alabama.
Absolutely, absolutely. Tell us a little bit more, because I know that when people think legalization, of course, they're like, well, why are you fighting for legalization? We just passed a medical bill. But what our goals are as these two organizations, and I'm a member of both, what our goal is not to stop with just what we've been given, but complete and total medical freedom, right?
Right. It's just really time to end insanity. It's time for the citizens of the state of Alabama to have what 32 other states in the United States have, and that's legal access to cannabis, because all cannabis is medicinal. And we want
That's right.
to make sure that we have legal access and that we don't go to jail for whatever purpose that we want to use cannabis for.
Right, right. I say that
and
all the time.
And I think
Dr. David Allen, who you are good friends with, who I think is awesome. I hope to get to meet him someday, but his video on YouTube changed my brain, like changed my heart. I have learned so much from him, but he said in that video, all cannabis use is medical. It doesn't matter what the motive is of the user, you know, because so many people think, oh, I just do this because I like to get high. But they don't even realize, they don't even understand that what they're self-medicating for is their anxiety issues, their inability to sleep, their mood, their body, their pain, their illness, you know, their immune system. Their body craves it because we have a system, the endocannabinoid system, that uses all the different chemical compounds in the plant, especially the cannabinoids and terpenes. And you know, that it is medicine for them. It's because we don't understand the plant as a whole, as a society, people don't realize, you know, they are actually medicating themselves because, and that's why people still gravitate toward it at the risk of their freedom sometimes, because it does work better than anything else.
Right, and people do self-medicate. I do want to touch on the fact that the chairman of the Alabama Democrats here in Alabama, House Rep Chris England, proposed on April 20th, 2021, that the Alabama Democrats would be fighting for legalization in the state of Alabama. So we're hoping that sometime in the very near future, we're going to be able to sit down with Chris England and talk about how the Alabama Cannabis Coalition and Alabama RAMP can actually work with the Alabama Democrats to bring legalization to the state. We've reached out to the Republican Party and have yet had anybody respond to us in a positive light. We reached out to Alabama Young Republicans. They didn't want to have anything to do with it. It was like it was a hot potato. So we're going to move forward and we're going to work with whatever political parties on whichever side of the aisle that we can to bring freedom, liberty, and justice to the citizens of the state of Alabama to have legal access to cannabis. So we can self-medicate.
All right, we'll be back in just a minute with Marty from Alabama Cannabis Coalition and ALRAP.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. I'm your host, Jennifer Boozer, and I am on live on remote from Montgomery tonight. And I'm with Marty Shelper from the Alabama Republicans Against Marijuana Prohibition and the founder of the Alabama Cannabis Coalition and the newly minted lobbyist for the people of Alabama in the effort to legalize all forms of cannabis, really. I mean, I got a little stumbled there thinking of the right word, but... Marty, you guys are really pulling for, like, home grow, right?
Absolutely.
Explain
absolutely.
To the listeners
and then the industry,
what
after
exactly
the citizens
a home
have
grow
the right
is.
To grow their own cannabis, then the cannabis industry can come in and they can do their thing and everybody can live happy and be free.
Right, but you want people to have the freedom to grow plants in their own backyard for their own purpose.
Or on top of their house or on their balconies at their apartment or wherever they want to grow.
Right, right. What do you think about states like California and New York that have like a 6-plant limit? What do you think about the limitation on the number of plants you can have?
That's very complicated. I would like for the citizens of the state of Alabama to at least be able to grow a dozen plants. I mean, there's so many different strains out there. There's indicas, right. There's sativas, there's the different strains. People use different strains for different types of medicinal purposes, and to limit it to anything that would be less than 12 plants would be asinine, in my opinion. I think people should be able to grow acres and acres and acres, but I would like to start out with 12 plants.
Right. I agree with you about the variety because we see that every day just in the hemp varieties of plants that we sell legally here in Alabama. You know, there are different, I was watching a documentary about medicinal cannabis that was probably 3 or 4 years old at least. And one of the doctors said that there were at least 4,500 different strains because you take all the 480 plus chemicals in the plant that we know of and you mix the combinations and the potencies and the concentrations of each individual compound in different combinations, and you get a different plant every time. And there's, you know, probably tens of thousands, if not more, you know, different combinations and different potencies that you could have. And the possibilities are endless. Everyone's endocannabinoid system is different because we have different genes. We have different metabolisms. We have different eating habits. We have different levels of trauma, different medications, and different exposures to different diseases. And so everyone is different. And yet the plant works on everybody.
Well, prior to August the 2nd of 1937, when they passed the Marijuana Tax Act, there was no limitation on cannabis. There was no regulation of cannabis. And to me, it's just like tomato plants. If you grow tomato plants in your garden, nobody tells you, oh, you can only have 3 tomato plants. You know, I think everybody should be able to grow as many cannabis plants as they want. That may be impossible here in the state of Alabama. But let's start out with an even dozen. Or we could have a baker's dozen and we could have 13. How about that?
Right. Well, right. And like I said, no one tells you you can only grow heirlooms or you can only grow Roma tomatoes or grape tomatoes or whatever. They're all the different types of tomatoes, because I know I have preferences. I know that that some of them taste good to me and some of them don't. I shouldn't be limited on what types of tomatoes I can grow and eat in my own home.
Absolutely. And I saw an article today that the FDA is trying to approve synthetic THC. No. This is not going to be a pharmaceutical drug. We need the real natural plant. We don't need another synthetic. Anytime you introduce anything synthetic into the human body, the human body rejects that. We need the natural plant. We need all of the cannabinoids that are in the cannabis plant, and we do not need them to be made synthetic. Why would we want to make synthetic when we can grow it and it's natural?
Right. And that's why, to me, the single chemical compound synthesized that is found naturally in a plant that's perfect for the body. It just goes to show you the lack of education.
But if they make it synthetic, they know that they can.
Well,
so
it's
the
patentable.
Pharmaceutical companies and the Food and Drug Administration are the largest legal drug cartel in the world, and I would like to see that stop.
Right. Well, and like I said, it goes to show the lack of regard for the science, or the lack of education, that they just don't even know the science, that a single chemical compound, even if it was extracted from the plant naturally, it's one thing when what we need is the entourage or the whole plant. You know, THC by itself is great, so is CBD. But when you combine them with the other cannabinoids, the terpenes, the flavonoids, the fatty acids, the antioxidants, vitamins, minerals, that is a perfect combination. It is the most bioavailable plant on this planet that the human race knows of. It is the most bioavailable to the human body than any other plant on the planet. There's nothing more nutritional for the human body. And we have provable, tangible receptors for these compounds.
Well,
I do believe
that the pharmaceutical companies know exactly what they're doing. They do not want people to be healthy and well unless they can make a profit off of it. So that's the bottom line.
That is the whole point of Sweet Home Cannabis.
It's about profit.
The whole point. The reason that we do the show over and over and over, and we repeat these things over and over and over, is because some people are hearing this for the first time. Some people are just now hearing it for the third or fourth time and think, maybe there's something to this. They keep saying this over and over. And what we want is for people to go and do your own research. It's out there, you know. I was heckled a couple weeks ago about, the almighty Google. Google's got some good information, y'all. There's public publishings of medical research that is straight from these labs, from these universities, from these hospitals that are doing research on cannabis. And anything coming from Dr. Meshulam in Jerusalem is, you know, they were the first to do any of it. The research is out there. And like I tell everybody all the time, I say it over and over, just like the Bible, you got to read this stuff for yourself and glean from it what you can. And when you can understand it, then you have somewhere to go to ask questions.
Right, and I do want to let people know that there's also a website out there called Google Scholar. Google Scholar,
yes.
S-C-H-O-L-A-R. And it's really, really easy to go out on Google Scholar and look at some of the research that you may not be able to find just on Google. But if they'll go to Google Scholar and do some research on cannabis, they will find the pertinent information that they need to answer the questions that they have.
Right. We like to recommend projectcbd.org because it's information on all of the plant, not just CBD. And then there is another site that I did most of my learning initially from, and that is echoconnection.org. And that is sponsored by Medical Marijuana Inc. And they were the first to have a hemp CBD product line fit for public consumption and out on the market. And that's the brand that we start, that I actually first tried and started with and changed my life. But echoconnection.org, you can go, and I always recommend that people search the terms. You know, you could search different terms. If you search the word conditions, it will bring up a blog listing of an explanation of all the different conditions that there's medical research to back up that CBD and cannabis can help treat. And you can click on the name of the condition, and it's in alphabetical order, and it will bring you to the actual, like, Journal of American Medicine type medical research. It's very difficult to read if you don't have a medical background, but what they do is they take that research and they put it into digestible bite-sized pieces in layman's terms in their blog posts, and they break it down and they reference back to that medical research. So they're reading the medical research, and then they're basically making it small enough that it doesn't blow your brain out, and you can understand it in layman's terms, and it makes sense in digestible bites. It's what we try to do when we teach a class. You know, I don't teach for 30 minutes. It would just, people would shut down after 10 minutes. But I teach for 10 minutes, and then I take questions because it's so much information. But you can go and find this list of conditions, and you can search other things, you know, and it's an incredible resource. That's Echo, E-C-H-O, connection.org. And then a good weed, like, dictionary is leafly.com. They have, I mean, if you want to look up a strain, you want to look up something, you know, like, I have anxiety, what's the best strain? It can give you that breakdown and teach you what about that strain and why and what it smells like, what it tastes like, and the effects that it should have and the potencies and things. Even the history of how the plant genetics were formed.
I do have something to add on Alabama Cannabis Coalition on Facebook. If you look up AlabamaCannabisCoalition.org, AlabamaCannabisCoalition.org, it'll take you directly to our Facebook page, our Facebook group. And we took a poll about 2 weeks ago about why is it so difficult to get people to come out of their proverbial closet? Because when we were fighting for medical cannabis, I thought, when we start fighting for legalization, people are going to come out of the woodwork, which we have had a lot of members that have joined, and they've agreed, you know, that they would stand up and speak out. But they've joined, but I don't see them actually participating in our action alerts. So I took a poll to find out what was the biggest draw, or what was the biggest reason why people did not want to become public about their cannabis use, or their support. You don't have to use cannabis to support the cause. And the number one reason that people did not want to be open and public was because of fear. People are so afraid to let anybody know that they support the legalization of cannabis. And until the citizens of the state of Alabama overcome that fear and let their politicians and their leaders and their legislators in Montgomery know that they support the legalization of cannabis, the longer and the more difficult this task is going to be, because those politicians listen to two things. They listen to political lobbyists who are paid by different industries, and they listen to the voters, the constituents of the state of Alabama. And it really does not take that many voters in a particular district to let their House reps and their state senators know that they support a particular cause, and in our case, legalization, the right to grow, and the expungement of cannabis convictions, to let them know that this is important to them and get their attention. And we're coming up on the 2022 election cycle, and it's time to let them know this is important to the citizens of the state of Alabama.
I agree. We'll be right back with Marty from Alabama Cannabis Coalition.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Booser.
All right, welcome back, everybody. I'm with Marty Shelper of the Alabama Cannabis Coalition and Alabama Republicans Against Marijuana Prohibition. I'm getting used to saying that and not jacking it up, Marty, because that is quite a name.
You're doing a great job.
Well, usually if I get started and I mess it up, I have to go, okay, I got to start all over. So we were just talking about people's inability to kind of be out of the closet.
Right.
Do you really think, I mean, because I get this too. Do you really think that people are scared that their neighbors will find out, or is it more than that? Is it their jobs? I know a lot of people that are very supportive of me privately, but they will not share or like anything from my page because they're a teacher or they're a nurse or they're a cop and they're worried about their job, seeing that they even follow a cannabis business.
I think what people are afraid that someone at their church will find out, that somebody in their political organization will find out, that somebody in their Kiwanis organization or their Rotary Club will find out. I've been a user of cannabis since 1975. Excuse me, I've got a sinus infection. I was 15 the first time I ever tried cannabis. I'm going to be 62 in January. I've been a user of cannabis for 46 years. I hope that the courage that they see in me will inspire something inside of them that will say, if she can do that and she's not afraid, then I shouldn't be afraid either.
Well, right, and I mean, you don't look like what people assume weed people look like either. You're just a normal woman. You're just a normal. I'm a normal soccer mom. Now, I do have purple hair, but you know that's just my midlife crisis color. I'll be back brown in no time. You know, if it doesn't make me weird.
I think we need to get rid of the stereotype of what someone looks like that supports the use
of
cannabis.
I cannot
tell you
how many times.
We've been brainwashed, and there's been so much propaganda about what somebody looks like that uses cannabis,
right.
And it's all been a pack of lies. If anybody's never watched the video Reefer Madness from the late 30s about, you know, the brown-skinned people, I mean, it's a racist problem. I mean, history of the prohibition of cannabis is very, very racist. And we have got to eliminate all of the lies and all the brainwashing and all the propaganda from the DARE programs and Nancy Reagan, just say no to drugs. Cannabis is not a drug.
That's right.
It's an herbal plant.
It is a superfood. It's a superfood.
It's a natural,
and it's a
healthy alternative to pharmaceutical drugs.
Yep. Well, that's the saying, you are what you eat, is a thing for a reason, because cannabis was part of the human diet for all of recorded history. We have Chinese farming records that are 5,000 years old. There are clay pots, carbon dated 9,000 years old, with hemp residue in them and seeds. You know, I mean, there are crumbling now, but there are basically ancient buildings that are made from hempcrete, what we call now is hempcrete, you know, the herd and the water and lime, and that's all it takes to make bricks.
Right, and we do have a religious right community here in the Bible Belt in the South, not just in Alabama, but North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Florida, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, and the religious right believe that cannabis is a drug that we should not have access to. But cannabis is biblical. I mean, if people go back to the original Greek text of the Holy Bible, it's called cannibalism. I think it's K-A-N-E-H-B-O-S-M. And I may not be pronouncing that correctly, but that's how I've always pronounced it. But cannabis is biblical.
Cannibalism, yes.
There's recipes in the Bible on how to make cannabis oil.
Right. It's listed as an ingredient in anointing oil that Jesus used to heal people.
The holy anointing oil. That's right. In the New Testament. Absolutely.
Yep. I was fascinated with that when I first heard that. It makes so much sense. I would challenge anybody who's listening to the show tonight or who knows someone who it works within the church, whether it's a Bible study class or a Sunday school class, you know, or the church itself. You know, I think if the church took the time to fully understand and get a real understanding of what it is and what it isn't, and then be able to compare that logically, scientifically, to what's happening to the people in their city and the people in their congregation that are on pain pills, that are on antidepressants, that are on medications that are literally impairing them and killing them, but they are acceptable because they came from someone wearing a white coat. I think if the church understood what we can do for their congregation and the community at large, especially when it comes to addiction recovery, I think that they would be our biggest champions. And anybody in any sort of organization that has people in it, because people all around us are sick, they're dying, they're in pain, and they are impaired. Anything you have to do every single day is bondage. And right. So I think that if there was a real full understanding of both what it is and what it isn't, and they could really get some good, really solid education, I really think that that would turn things around in the religious community. Because no one who could claim to be doing God's work or want to be building the kingdom of God would want everyone around them impaired and in bondage and in sickness and ineffective. And that's one of the first things that sort of came to me as a realization as a Christian. I am a conservative Christian, cannabis advocate, and retailer. I know those things all sound like mumbo jumbo, but it's a thing. I might be in a minority, but I am. And I give my testimony about my faith and what God has done in my life and how God gave me the name Cannabama and inspired the vision and gave me this fire in my belly. I'm very open about that. And I challenge anybody who has a problem with it. But
my sister died of chemotherapy poisoning, was called by God to become a cannabis advocate because she did not have access in the state of Georgia to full extract cannabis oil, which would have healed her of her cancer. And so I'm right there with you. I'm a fiscal conservative. I'm a social liberal. I'm a Christian. And there's a candidate here in the state of Alabama that's running for governor who is a minister that I've been trying to talk to for about the past 9 months, and he told me that he supported medical cannabis, but he didn't support legalization. And finally, recently, I found out that he's finally come around and said, well, he supports decrim, meaning that if you got caught with cannabis, that you would have to pay a fine. Well, why do you need to pay a fine to begin with? So I'm right. not, you know, I'm not a supporter of decriminalization, and everybody thinks that it's a step. There are 32 states that already have legal access to cannabis in the United States, and there's no reason why anybody in the state of Alabama should have to pay a fine because they got caught with a strawberry of weed in their pocket.
Right, right. No, I agree. I agree.
And I don't think I'm being unreasonable.
No, I don't think you are either. No, I mean, like I said, the reason that we hammer this home all the time, you know, education, 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 is because it is a matter of misinformation and lack of good education that it keeps us down, keeps us in this darkness where people just think, oh, well, we're going to just unleash some unholy terror, and it's just not going to happen.
I would like to break that word misinformation down in layman terms. It's about lies. We've been sold a bill of goods that was built on lies, and I want people to reach out to their legislators. I want people to reach out to these candidates that are running for election in 2022, to the candidates that are running for re-election in 2022, and let them know that you support the legalization of cannabis in the state of Alabama.
Right. I saw a quote by Woody Harrelson that said, if marijuana had not been made illegal, then we would have generations of kids who are growing up with memories of a stoned, hungry dad instead of an angry alcoholic dad.
Absolutely.
And it would have changed the children who've grown up around alcoholism, drug addiction, the way that it has destroyed whole generations, all of that could have been avoided. And that's
the prohibition of cannabis has been a crime against humanity.
Absolutely. When we come back, we'll finish up our hour with Marty Shelper here in Montgomery in preparation for the rally tomorrow. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm on location here in Montgomery with Marty Shelper from the Alabama Republicans Against Marijuana Prohibition and the Alabama Cannabis Coalition. And as your newly appointed state representative for the National Industrial Hemp Coalition, that would be me. Still not even exactly sure what that means, but I'm learning and I'm excited to be able to represent the state of Alabama, alongside people like Marty who are advocating for patients. I am also trying to advocate within the industry to keep us on the up and up because there are so many people who are excited to grab some money and they're doing it at the expense of others. So that's kind of where my focus usually lies. And Marty has a great handle on patients' rights and the freedoms that we have and don't have here in Alabama and in the United States. So Marty, how do you think Alabama's going to keep pace with federal legalization? Do you have any insight on the possibility of federal legalization beating Alabama to the punch for full legalization?
I have people that ask me about federal legalization all the time. My focus is on states' rights. I can't, I can't fight on two battle fronts, but I can fight right here in the state of Alabama. Whatever they do at the federal level, somebody else is going to have to come along and fight that job. We're going to get legalization here in the state of Alabama, I believe, before it's ever federally legal.
Right. Do you think it's a long shot, or do you? I mean, I hear people all the time saying, "Oh, it'll be any day now. We're going to federally legalize," but I don't see any evidence of that.
Okay, that's pie in the sky. Everybody gets all excited about it because people really do not want to do the work. They want to sit back and hope and wish and dream that it's going to happen at the federal level. I'm asking the people that are within the sound of our voices tonight, stand up and fight for your state's rights in the state of Alabama for legalization, home growth, expungement of cannabis convictions. And if it goes legal federally, we'll already have the right in the state of Alabama.
Well, right. I mean, won't it still depend on infrastructure within each state to mandate how that's done?
Well, if we have if it's legalized in the state of Alabama, we have the right to grow.
Right.
I believe that the infrastructure is going to affect the cannabis industry, not the person at home that's growing 12 plants.
Right. Right.
So the industry can do whatever they want to do, as long as the citizens have the right to grow.
Right. And because it's just like you have the right to grow corn and peas and mashed potatoes from the ground, you know, but most people don't do it. So there's still plenty of room for an industry and people
Absolutely.
To grow it and
How
sell
many
it.
How many people do you know that go to the grocery store that buy tomatoes?
Right.
Because they're not going
to
grow
tomatoes. I tried for years to grow
tomatoes.
I have to buy them.
But that doesn't mean that everybody shouldn't have the right to grow tomatoes or that everybody should not have the right to grow their own cannabis.
Right, and there will always be somebody.
So the cannabis industry doesn't need to be worried about people having a right to, you know, to legally grow cannabis, because people are still going to go
to the end of the day,
dispensaries and purchase products.
Right. Maybe one in every 100 people would actually consider potting some plants. And there will be a people, there will be a lot of people in the beginning who think, oh, I'm just going to throw some weed in a bucket and grow it. And it'll, you know, they'll figure out it's a little bit more to it than that. And
it's
there's
not that
a lot
much more
of people that are going to get bad seeds and have a bad experience.
Because they get people to think it's complicated, but it's really not that complicated. If you've got a green thumb, you've got some good soil, you know, you've got some nutritious soil, you've got some good seeds, you know, you've got
you
access to water.
You just don't need anything
sunlight,
synthetic like a pesticide or a fertilizer.
Right.
Yeah. We
I just
don't need chemicals.
To live
I know that.
Freely.
Right. No Miracle-Gro weed. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes. Well, when you understand the bioremediation and how it sucks everything out of the soil and you end up freebasing whatever those chemicals are, you learn real quick, yeah, you don't want to go there.
Yeah, you definitely want to grow naturally.
Right. And there should be information available to the public, just like there is for tomatoes or anything else you can grow at home, to be able to have natural medicine. I know my sister-in-law in Louisiana, she has harvested things like wild lettuce and other herbs and things, common just plants that she found in the yard that are used medicinally. And she's learning how to make extracts and tinctures. And it's fascinating to visit with her and to see all the different things she has in jars and cans and the dehumidifier and how she's making these concoctions, because she's learned how to do it the same way she learned how to preserve figs.
Right.
And we should all be able to have that option.
Well, don't let the pharmaceutical companies know that there are other herbal products out there that people can grow at home to make tinctures that are healing to the body, or they'll become illegal.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Well, listen, Marty, we have a few minutes left. I want to make sure that you have plenty of time to tell everybody listening how they can get involved, or at least spy on if they're shy at first. Please don't be shy. Be bold. Come on. The water's fine. It's just the two of us. Us and a couple other crazies. And, you know, but join us. Tell us how to find Alabama Republicans Against Marijuana Prohibition first.
Okay, well, Alabama Republicans Against Marijuana Prohibition can be found on Facebook. We also have a website called Make It Legal Alabama, and they can sign up for action alerts on that website. They can also go to our website, AlabamaCannabisCoalition.org, which will take them directly to our Facebook group. We have a Facebook page and a Facebook group. They can go on that Facebook group. They can request to join. They can just scroll down through all of our posts. Our email address is AlabamaCannabisCoalition@gmail.com. That's AlabamaCannabisCoalition@gmail.com. If anybody ever has any questions or they want to know how they can help, they can always email us. They can go on our Facebook group, comment on a post, and say, hey, I'm Debbie Smith. You know, you don't even have to tell me where you live. I want to know how to get involved. We have 12 regional groups. Alabama Cannabis Coalition has 12 regional groups around the state. We've broken the state down in 12 geographic areas, so that everybody in every geographic area has an opportunity to let us know what's going on in their community. If they have candidates that are supporting the legalization of cannabis, if they have candidates in their geographic area that are supporting decriminalization, we need to know about those candidates so we can let other citizens in the state of Alabama know that we are out fighting for the citizens of the state of Alabama.
Okay, thank you. Also, being the newly appointed state representative for the National Industrial Hemp Coalition, there is a Facebook page called Alabama Industrial Hemp Coalition, And you can go and like that page and follow that. We're putting things together. I know that the founders of the National Coalition have pages for all 50 states. So if you happen to be listening in another state, I'm sure there's a Nevada Industrial Hemp Coalition page and a Texas Industrial Hemp Coalition page. I know that for a fact. There's one for all 50 states, and we're really organizing, and you'll be able to join those organizations as well. And I will actually be getting 4 regional managers. So if you are in the industry, want to be a part of the industry and want to help out with that, you know, give me a holler. Message me on my personal page, Jennifer Isabel Boozer, or at the Cannabama, the CBD store page, or the Alabama Industrial Hemp Coalition page. And let me know if you want to be involved with that. But just like and follow us so we can all stay sort of in this forward momentum together and keep this thing moving. We want to be able to bring not only freedom and choice to Alabama patients, but we want to make sure that the Alabama hemp industry and the Alabama cannabis industry as a whole, whether it's medical, recreational, hemp, all of it combined, it's all cannabis. We want to make sure that we have an industry here in the state of Alabama that has integrity. So until next week, thank you, Marty, for joining us tonight. It was very informative. Come see us at the rally tomorrow at Troy University at 9 a.m. And we'll see you next week.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.